In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us today as this week we continue our look at socialism and its philosophical ties to and similarities with radical Islam. We're also zeroing in on events in Europe. We're looking at Europe because what is currently happening there is a testing ground for what socialists and Islamists want to do here. And make no mistake, socialists and Islamists are working together to undo America. Today we'll talk about how Europe, especially Britain and France, are being overwhelmed by Muslim immigrants. This, when Democrats and socialists, you know, there really is no difference now between the two, are forcing the U.S. border to stay open, trying to give voting rights to illegals, and enticing them to come here by giving away billions of taxpayer dollars. Longtime listeners of iSpy know that we've often surmised that Obama was purposefully undermining the U.S. and other countries to transform it, that he was using organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood to attack and undermine countries like Egypt, Libya, and Syria. We've often said how Obama used socialist and Marxist grassroots organizing techniques to establish networks in these countries and rebel from within, that he directly funded them using a network of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, essentially government-funded nonprofits that get all the taxpayer funding without the strings attached. We've said how Obama directly funded the Muslim Brotherhood, which has been designated a terrorist organization in other countries. Here in the U.S., he was pushing members of the Muslim Brotherhood into positions of power in government, especially inside our intelligence and defense departments. Now, as Obama administrators and bureaucrats are slowly being phased out, and as Trump's people are slowly taking over, slow-walked by Democrats and Republicans in Congress, answers and evidence of this are starting to leak out. Obama's Presidential Study Directive 11 spelled out his administration's plan to support the Muslim Brotherhood and other allied political Islam movements. PSD 11 remains classified secret, but some details about the outcomes and goals of it came to light due to a FOIA request over at the State Department. PSD 11 established the Middle East Partnership Initiative. The stated goal of the program was to promote and steer political change in the targeted countries. It included building networks of reformers and to catalyze progressive change in the region. It included local grants to Muslim Brotherhood and other networks of Islamic fundamentalists. PSD 11 launched in early 2010. Within months, local Muslim extremist cells became activated in late 2010 and culminated in the so-called Arab Spring of 2011, where the Muslim Brotherhood toppled Egypt's government and Libya and tried to do so in Syria. So here's the thing. This information comes from a Homeland Security Subcommittee hearing in September 2016. Republicans and Democrats in Congress have known about this for 2.5 years. So why haven't they done something? Why aren't they closing the border? As you'll hear today, the borders don't need closed, they need slammed shut. Europe is being overrun, they're trying to flood the system and overwhelm the system right here. I'd like to welcome now Kamal Salim. He is a former culture jihadist and joined us last week to talk a lot about socialism. And Kamal, it's great to talk to you again.
It's an honor being with you. It's, thank you for what you guys do. I really want to thank you. So many times we thank the guests, but I want to thank God for you and all that you do, because people like you make the differences for such time as this, where the media is fake.
Yes, there is a lot of fake out there, and thank you for that. That means a lot. So the reason we wanted to have you back is because you had just recently returned from Europe. In fact, that's why we really weren't able to talk with you last fall like we had wanted. But I'd like to just spend a few moments looking back at that show from last week, because we got a lot of very positive feedback about that show. And I think one of the things that really stood out to me was this notion that Hitler was essentially consulting with the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem in order to develop an answer for the Jewish problem. And I assume on your end that this is sort of a known thing, having grown up in the Middle East, that you kind of knew that Hitler was coming in there and sort of getting some advice. And also, I've seen pictures of him with some Islamic army units and whatnot. I mean, is that sort of known, but people just don't really talk much about it?
Well, you know, history is it's becoming, muddied so much that a lot of people don't follow history as much as they used to before. Specifically in this age, they don't want you to know about true history, what took place before, because they want to change the projected global agenda is to change the mind and the understanding to what they are projecting you into. So therefore, they are shifting the culture from that. But the reason why I knew that so much is because I was born to a radical Muslim family, you know, a Sunni family. My cousin was the Grand Mufti of Lebanon for many years, over two decades, you know, I was in the heart of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is we understood what made us strong. And, you know, like, for example, the finances at the Muslim Brotherhood, originally where it came from the gold teeth of the Jewish people in Germany and Hungary and Poland and all this. So a lot of this money was given to the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, and
wow.
It is terror money, you know, people have been terrorized out of their, inheritance to be given to such people like this, to become a living factor and create an altar for terror.
You know, I'd love talking with you because it seems like whenever I ask one question, like 20 others pop up. And just now you said that a lot of the early financing for the Muslim Brotherhood came from gold and money taken from the Jews. I mean, wow, what a nutshell to crack open, because, I mean, you think of somebody like George Soros, who, as a Jew himself, was involved in taking the money from the Jews and the gold and the gold teeth and everything else from these Jews. And I wonder how much of that ended up in Muslim hands, because see how he has totally embraced this, the infiltration of Islam into Europe.
Yeah, we need to understand that people like George Soros, you know, and there are many of them, you know, some of the worst enemy to Judaism are Jews.
Yes.
And but these are Marxist Jews, you know, and they are socialist Jews. So therefore, we saw this happening even in the camps, you know, in Hitler camps, you know, where they kept the Jewish people over there, that a special remnant would come out of the Jewish people and will tell on the Jewish people and sell the Jewish people out to the German, what's happening behind the scene and what's taking place, where they're hiding, where their family hiding in the city and what so have you, so they can live that life and be recognized by the German Nazi regime. We saw that happen in the days of Moses when he went up to the mount to talk to God and bring the Ten Commandments, that some of those Jewish people start telling other people, you know, this is, where is God of Moses now, you know, and this is when they ask them to build the calf that is, and worship at, you know, and so this is pre-existed time, you know, it's not from this modern time, it's been throughout history. These are that they took what is good and pure and wholesome and cursed it to be evil and used against God, just like what Satan did when he revolted against God and he was cast out of heaven.
Mm. Well, I have several other questions that I wanted to come off of that line of questioning. So let's go ahead and take a break early. And everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Kamal Saleem. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Kamal Saleem. Last week we looked at socialism along with its philosophical ties to and similarities with radical Islam. And this week we're going to be zeroing in on events in Europe. But before we get there, I just wanted to follow up some questions there in that last segment there. You were saying in the break there that hundreds of millions of dollars in gold taken from the Jews was the initial funding for the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, I had no idea that's where the founding from for the Muslim Brotherhood came from, was money stolen from the Jews during World War II.
That's exactly right, because, you know, think about it, that Germany was economically bankrupt and their world was falling apart. So the only way for Hitler to finance his war machine, killing machine, to cause 60 million people death worldwide, it is to get the actual money from the people who has it. And who did have it at that time? They were the Jews. And so therefore, the olden monies, 99% of it came from the Jewish people, because, and that's what really went to the radical Islamist, which is Hajjal Amin al-Husseini and his people, to arouse the radical in order to disallow the movement of the Jewish people to move to Israel. So Hitler gave him hundreds of millions of dollars. And we saw that revolt, you know, so many times there are Jewish people at the other side fighting against the Jewish people. And we said that, I don't know if we said it in the first segment or not, but these are people literally anti-Jewish. We've seen them in the, you know, in Jewish, you know, camps where, you know, the Jewish people were kept. And, you know, the German camps, that is. And so, therefore, what happened is there were Jewish telling on other Jewish to spy, to see where their family hiding and what so have you. But this was done specifically to finance Islamism, which is the Muslim Brotherhood today.
Well, you had mentioned in that first segment there that some of the worst enemies of Jews are Jews themselves. Why is that?
Because, you know, we saw it happening in the days of Moses, like I said before. You know, when Moses went up to the mountain to meet with God, you know, some Jews start arousing the other Jews to revolt against the God of Moses, till they build the oxen, and they worship at the oxen, and they did the things of Sodom and Gomorrah and what so have you. And so therefore, we know what God did afterward, you know. So these are, you know, many of them, these are that they saw the blessings, they saw the miracles, they saw all this, and they saw the grace of God upon their life. And what happened, they offered at the altars of sacrifice to Baal or Molech or, you know, other, you know, deities, which is today it comes to secularism, socialism, liberalism, and many other. They are not afraid to offer children in sacrifice and abortions. They're not afraid to sacrifice, you know, humanity, economies, different world and what so have you for the purpose of their gods, you know, however that is, even though they said we don't worship God, but they worship, they have a religion and they worship a false god, and it has a naming convention. So therefore, that has existed throughout time and history, and it just takes modern names and changes and evolves. But it's still the same thing from the beginning of time, and just the revolting of Satan against God.
Well, it's amazing how so many Jewish people just go out of their way to subvert other Jewish people. You know, you look at it even in things like the election, where 75% of Jews voted against Donald Trump, who has turned out to be the best friend Israel has ever had, and yet 75% of Jewish voters were against him. The reason, I'd like to go back to my original question there, because I'm trying to understand the mindset of the Islamic people there in the Middle East. And the reason I had asked whether it was common knowledge of Muslims in the Middle East that they were working with Hitler is because, I mean, are they at all ashamed of that? Or do they see that as a matter of pride?
Absolutely. There's no shame on this. You know, some of the teaching, Islamic teaching, is to work with Satan against your enemy is a favorable. To work with the enemy of your enemy, it's favorable. It's part of the doctrine and teaching. So therefore, they will align and with the other group, just like we're seeing right now, socialism, Marxism, Islamism, LGBTQ, you know, all of them coming together, although they have nothing in common with one another. And one day they will turn against each other and kill each other. But nevertheless, they will use this to create a platform for themselves to accelerate the new level that they wanted to reach. It's part of the strategy.
Well, it'll be certainly interesting to watch as socialism and Islam begin to kind of band together there, because in many respects they can't coexist. So anyway, that will be interesting to watch that relationship unfold. So we did want to talk to you about Europe. And as we said in the previous segment, you just got back from there. And I'd like to start zeroing in on Europe simply because I think it really offers some foreshadowing as for what's in store for America here. You just got back from Europe. What were some of the parts that you had recently visited?
The things that I visited over there, I went through England, and I went through the airports of Germany, and I went through the to France. So I was and I was able to drive throughout France, not throughout France, but specific areas in France that I went looking for on purpose, and specific area in England. But what really spoke to me so highly is, statistically, airport project the numbers of how the nation, what is dead and what's alive, what's happening, what's not happening. It reflects those in their airports because that's the life that is moving forward. And when you go through the airports today, throughout Europe, you don't think that you are in Europe. You think that you are in a third world countries. The culture changes. A lot of the Arabs, a lot of the African, a lot of the Asian, but the majority are, from Islam. And so therefore, you see the culture is shifting. The majority of flights are flying to like Pakistan, Afghanistan, to Indonesia, to different places, Muslim point of travel, so therefore, and you see the amount of people that they're filling the airports, by a great majority, about 80%+, they are, Muslims. And so that tells you what's has happened and what's growing in that nation.
Yeah, certainly it gives a pretty good thermometer, so to speak, of what's going on there. Let's go and take a break there. Come back, we'll talk some more with Kamal Saleem about what's going on in Europe and some of the things that he saw recently on his trip there. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Kamal Saleem. He is a former cultural jihadist who was sent here to America by a Saudi prince to destroy it from within. And he just recently got back from a trip to Europe. Haven't been invited to go over there and do some speaking to some various groups and some consulting work. And in that last segment, he talked about just going through some of the airports, and 80% of people were non-natives there in the European airports, especially in Germany. And during the break there, you were talking about some of these areas of Britain that you visited, and just how they have totally radically changed. And I'm sure that, as I recall, you had visited Europe several decades or so ago. Talk to us a little bit about some of the changes that you have seen, but also just the cause and effect of these changes.
Well, number one, before I go further, I want to say that this is not about alarming the people or putting fear in the heart of people. The word of God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, not because they don't have knowledge, but because they refuse knowledge. And sometimes, we see that in the Bible, that the writing came on a wall in the days of Daniel. The writing came on a wall to forewarn the people, to cause them awakening before, trouble take place. And today we are no difference. The fact that I came from them, from being radical, meaning, I was radical sent to America. And before America, I was sent to Europe. So I was in the 70s in Europe. England was my headquarter, which is I launched a lot of movement, to establish, Islamization cells, throughout Europe from England. England was sovereign over many European nations. And so the question is here, I'm going to ask the question to myself, did my effort pay by, from that time? Absolutely. I see this, and I don't say it, in a place where to say, in pride, but I say it in shame. Because what I did that time and what was my calling, just like Paul said, I was the worst of sinners. But later on, he said, I've done nothing wrong, when he is in Christ Jesus. And why that is because I am fighting for this nation and for the Western civilization before it's too late. And I believe there is time still that we can change things, because when it's impossible with men, it's not possible. Everything is possible with God. So,
and I think that's an important point, because, you know, if you had not gone through what you did, if you hadn't pushed through some of these cells that you did and did all of that groundwork, I don't think that you'd be the warrior for Christ that you are today.
Well, to God be the glory. It's an honor to be a warrior for Christ. But I'll tell you what, I trained there, you know, I do it in privilege and humility, knowing that this is a gift. You know, and, you know, can a Christian lose their gift? Absolutely. If they defame it and abuse it, anyone can lose a gift. Mm. And so I thank God for this. And I tell my Christian friend out there, don't lose the gift that God has given you, because the world is getting darker without you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so just so that people understand, I always assume people know these things, but just to be clear, is the European Union right now is going through this massive influx of immigrants, in large part due to their own rules, where they have forced immigration and open borders. Once you set foot within a European Union country, you can then move to any other European country. That's why Italy has become so inundated. People arrive there by boats and rafts and everything else. Once they're there, they then have the freedom and right to go to any other European Union country. You said that you saw this a lot there with Britain, where there were parts of Britain that have these forced settlements, and they really didn't want any of that. Talk to us about some of your experiences in those areas.
Well, as we look at Britain itself, we look at it statistically today. These are statistics that reflect, you know, where Britain is. Today, Britain is number 29 on the chart in most religious out of 34 European countries. You know, so they're declining quite a bit. You know, they are number 29. 34 is high and 1 is low. And so therefore, we look at the at the religious influence in England. Only 10% says religion is very important to their lives. Only 10% out of entire England, the UK. 20% says they attend religious services at least monthly. You know, so they go once, twice a month. You know, so it's not important. They feel like they should go. 6% says they pray daily. Out of all those percentage, only 6%. And then 12% says they believe God is an absolute. Only 12%. They believe God is absolute and certain. You know, certainly. You know, so. So when we look at this, we see the declining of the European culture from within. It's caving, because as we look at Christianity is the power that made the European nation glorious today. If you look at Europe, just like the United States of America, we were founded by people believe they're Christians. People will believe these people fought from their belief and withstood the time against enemies, even though historically we see, you know, there's bad time of crusaders, but they are no longer there, you know, and so therefore we have to look at as today. So as we look at the European, Germany is number 26, and the only 11% says they are, religion is very important. 24% they attend, you know, churches. 9% they pray daily, and 10% they said they believe God is an absolute. While France, you know, I'm sorry, I revert to the number. One is highest, and you know, 100 is the lowest.
Right.
So therefore, and what happened is the French people, they are number 26. They're equal with Germany, but a little higher in percentage, a little bit higher. So 11% says religion is important in their lives. 22% they attend services, so more so than you know, Germany and England. 11% they pray daily, which is more, and 11% they said they believe in God is an absolute. So those numbers are definitely higher. So, but when we look at the actual numbers, you know, we're seeing the culture is caving from within. Why is that? God is not important anymore. And socialism and liberalism and secularisms and any other isms is now penetrating with their theology, with their world of understanding. And that reminds me of how Mecca used to be. You know, Mecca used to be at one time before Islam, they had 360 gods, and each god has a flavor of his own. And so therefore what happened, they were deities. So we see in the culture is not stepping forward, but declining backward. And so when we look at England, for example, we find that England today, the birth rate of the English people and unfortunately of the Christian people is so declining, you know. So the birth rate in 2010, the Christian were about 2,168,000,000. And so they were 31% of the whole world. And the projection in 2050, they're projected to only to birth 750 million. You know, only they are not going anymore. While the Muslims, at the other hand, in 2010 they were 1.6 billion, and now you know, they're projected in 2050 to be 2,762,000,000. So they are increasing by 29.7%.
Yeah. It can be a very different world in about 30 years here. All right, let's go and take a break there. Coming back, we'll continue our discussion with Kamal and get some insights into some of the areas that he visited and some of the things that he saw. Stay with us. And welcome back. Continue our discussion with Kamal Saleem, former cultural jihadist, about what he saw over in Europe. And Kamal, you were giving us some really frightening stats in many ways there in terms of the birth rates and projected birth rates here worldwide over the next 30 years. And you said you had one little bit more to add in terms of the death and birth rates.
Yes. So the Christian, as of 2015, and we're talking worldwide, the birth rate was at 33%, while the death rate at 37%. You know, the Muslim in 2015, the birth rate were 31% and the death rate 21%. While Hindu, Buddhist, and many others, you know, secularists and what so have you, they are declining by vast numbers, and they will continue declining. But the projection in 2060, the Christian birth rate is projected to be 35% and the death rate 31%. So it changes, you know, it enhances itself better. But the Muslim go on a higher level, the birth rate at 36% and the death rate at 25%. So the increase in birth, but the increase also in death. But ultimately, there will be 6 million differentiation between the Christians and Islam in 2060. So therefore, they will be catching up with us. But back to your question that you asked, let me give you a picture about England. So you land in England in Heathrow Airport, and over there, like I said earlier, the majorities are non-English, non-English people. And so therefore you hear hundreds of other languages. The English language is just becoming, you know, like buried in between. And so therefore, you know, this is just the airport. And as you go outside of the airport and you drive into the nation, today you see the culture, you know, mosques are all over the place. And so mosques are, you see them on the highways and you see them in different places there to be present. And then you arrive, you know, I was in Birmingham. This is the second biggest city in England after London. And so therefore, the majority of the people over there are Muslims. And so what happened is the Muslim moved into the nation. It's industrial city. And so therefore, they start infilling the industries, you know, infilling the jobs, because there's not enough English people to work. And so therefore, you know, Europe starts importing more people to fit into those places, but these people are bringing their culture, their religions, their issues, and their, you know, their desire, what they want to do ultimately, what's their desires of their forefathers. Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think people really need to key in on. You know, it's one thing if worldwide you have Islamic nations outpacing the birth rates of non-Islamic Christian nations. But the problem is so many of those Islamic people are moving into the Christian nations and replacing those Christian people. And so you're losing your heritage, you're losing your culture, because it's like any other democracy, they're going to outweigh the natives that are there. And I think that's the thing that people need to be awakened to. You know, you had mentioned earlier that Jews, a lot of them will sabotage other Jews. I think we see that in Western Europe as well, where a lot of Britons seem to be just terrified of standing up for their own culture and defending it and say, no, our heritage is worth standing up and defending. Is that some of what you saw?
Absolutely. You know, the unfortunate thing, if you're a Muslim and you stand in the middle of the street and you apostolize, you know, in talking about Islam, about Dawah, you know, which is the call to Islam and what so have you, the police will not touch you. As a matter of fact, the police will protect you. But if you're a Christian and you stand up on a corner and you start preaching, you know, and what so have you, what happened then? You're arrested, and then you're sent to jails, and then you're fined, and then your character is blemished from that point on as a criminal, just because you believed in Christianity, you know. And so therefore what happened is, in order for the English people to do this, the Christian people, not the English people, to do this, because the Christian people over there are also multicolors as well. They are not just white, they are from every nation. A lot of the Christian people left the Muslim nations to come to European nation and Western civilization to seek safe haven. But Islam is, you know, chasing after them even to those places. So while we're looking at all this, we find out that, you know, the culture has been challenged. And so therefore, there's only one flavor instead of everything else. You know, what could be put on a street?
Mm. Well, I imagine the police probably would have been very confused if you, as a former Islamist, had gone out on the street corner and started preaching Christianity. I'm not sure they would have known what to do about that. In terms of some of the areas that you visited, did you feel at all safe, or did you feel that, you know, things could get kind of hanky in a moment?
Well, you have to do things in a unique way, because I'm not going to give the ways that I did it. But and so the reason for protection for other people that they're doing the same thing. But I was among them. You know, I was in their city streets. I was in all their places. Over there, the culture is no longer, you know, English culture. Everything is in Arabic. Everything is halal, meaning, you know, kosher, Islamic kosher, not Jewish kosher, killed in the name of Allah, bled in the name of Allah. And, you know, the life over there, it's transformed. The mosque and Islamic teaching centers all over the place, and Islamic courts on every corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Islamic library. So the Muslim are happening in those places and learning and studying and doing everything and preparing for the next move for the UK. And
so much of what we're seeing there in the UK is exactly what you had described to us on a number of shows, where they're infiltrating and changing the culture from within. We do need to take a break. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Kamal Saleem about his trip over to Europe and some of the things that he saw there. And welcome back. Fascinating discussion today with Kamal Saleem about his recent trip to Europe and some of the things that he saw there in terms of the Islamification of Europe, especially Britain and France, the areas that he visited, and Germany as well. So just to be clear, in that last segment there, you were saying how you had gotten in with you know, some of the things that you didn't want to say how or what you were doing in terms of methodology. But if I understood you correctly, you were doing a little bit of infiltration there within some of these Muslim groups. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right, because I look like them, I speak like them. I came from the thing, so I know exactly how the culture is. So when you move, being part of the culture, you are blind to that culture. But when you stand out in that culture, then you're in a grave danger, because everybody starts moving toward you and try to cause you harm if you don't leave the area immediately. I've seen that while I was there. There were several stabbing, that took place over there on the street, where people came to the area and wandered in the wrong place. And the people, what they call them Sharia police, these who are, they're guarding the city, the borders, of that city. What happened is they will assault those people immediately.
When you say they're in the wrong place, you mean these are non-Muslims wandering into Muslim areas?
Correct. Okay. You are venturing into an area, it's a Muslim territory, because they consider their land is Sharia land. So therefore Sharia is what stands, and outside of Sharia is not acceptable, because they look at the Westerners as crusaders. So what does that mean? They they are at war with Islam, and so Islam has the right to destroy that culture and the people of that culture and that nation and its economy and everything that is to establish Islamization.
Yeah, I think that is the thing that a lot of people simply do not understand, is from a Muslim perspective, you have a right and really a duty to destroy places like Britain and their heritage and everything else, because it goes completely against Islam ideology. I think that's something that people really need to understand. Let me ask you something, though, and if you don't want to answer this is perfectly fine. In terms of why you were infiltrating some of those areas and stuff, was it to sort of study them? Was it to kind of feel them out in terms of potential conversion to Christianity? Had anything to do with maybe some government agencies has wanted you to look into those? Can you give us any ideas as to why you were doing what you're doing?
Well, here's something. Unlike when I was on the other side from my past life, my job was to infiltrate for the purpose to establish, Islamic civilization. So therefore, we knew what to do, what to put, to root in that nation, to affect that nation, to change that culture. From my perspective now, it is not to harm the Muslims. As a matter of fact, I love the Muslims. The Muslims are my family. Yes. I come from Muslim blood. So therefore, I am, even though that I come from Muslim blood, I want the best for them, and I want for them something to change. Instead of like killing people, I want them to love people. Instead of instilling fear and taking over and destroy civilization, I want them to be, celebrate those things and become co-inheritors of that nation for the next generation. So my heart desire is to change things from within, to change the core from within. Like, for example, when I go to those streets over there and walk about, I'm shaking hands, I'm meeting people, and I tell them I have not been here since 1970, or something like this. But nevertheless, what these people, when they stand in formation in France, in Germany, in Europe, whatever, hundreds of thousands of them on Friday on different city streets praying, they are trying to take dominion over the nation. That's what it means when they are praying in the city street. That is the first religious assault, by releasing their spirit of their God into the streets so they can claim the nation. So there is a differentiation. We do it for the love of Muslims. While when I was on the other side, it was for the hate of that nation.
We've only got about a minute here or so in this segment with you. You had mentioned previously how a lot of areas in Britain and France and other areas of Europe had really let their Christianity slide. Very few people attend church. Very few people even pray on a daily basis. There's nothing stopping you from that. If these had been strong Christian areas, would Islamists still have tried to go in there?
No, they would not, because according to the teaching of Islam, that the Muslim must respect the Christian and Jews, you know, and their territories. But nevertheless, you know, but when there's nobody is withstanding them, then it is their duty to take the culture by force, you know. So because they see the Western civilization as a Sodom and Gomorrah civilization, it is not a you know, Christian nation, or even though that they are crusaders, you know, but their Christendom is no longer what it used to be. It is right now, it is to really cause Islamic, you know, harm, just like what's happening in our nation, how they are trying to kill the children, you know, in our nation, like our black society in right. The United States, it's decreasing and being slaughtered by the millions from AIDS, HIV, from murder, from
abortion, crime and everything on the streets, else, yeah.
From
yeah.
Abortion, all of it is taking place. So it's a liberal agenda to destroy the black culture.
Yes.
So
I was going to say, it's just amazing how much of liberal ideology actually involves death of one sort or another. Unfortunately, we are up against the clock there coming up. Is there hope for Europe? And welcome back in our final segment now with Kamal Saleem. He's a former culture jihadist who spent some time in Europe, and we're picking his brain today about what some of the things that he saw. You know, one of the things that I really think that we need to discuss is why exactly are Muslims doing this? Why are they invading Europe? How do Muslims look at other people? And I understand you have a couple of verses for us.
Well, you know, the outlook of the Muslims, how they look at the Christian and Jews. So they have three points of views. One is to deal with Ahlul Kitab. Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, which is, these are, you know, Quran talked about them, they're Jews and Christians, you know, Islam to honor them, you know, and live with them and not kill them or force them to convert to Islam, you know. But then they look at the two other points, which is today, that's how they look at it, is one of them is Al-Kafirun, which is Christians who are frauds and Jewish people who are fraud. And how they figure that out is what your Bible said and how you live your life. And so they see that you are not real Christian or Jews. And the last one, al-mushrikun, when the Muslim look at the Christian, that they worship the statue of Mary, for example, or the statue of Joseph, or the statue of, you know, any saint, or the statue, or the cross by itself physically, or, you know, or Jesus, they make a picture of him. They see all this as false, you know, and you associate, you know, your life, your religion with idols. And so therefore, they have the right to destroy your culture.
Hmm. Do you think the Pope knows that? I mean, he's been reaching out to Muslims. I mean, and yet to hear you describe it, Muslims would see Catholicism as idolatry.
Well, it is to the Muslim. It is an idolatrous belief, you know, and that's why they kill so many Catholic in the Middle East, you know, in the Muslim nations, because they have statue of other deities than God himself. So that's one of them. The Pope knows that. But if he knows it, he's not projecting it, because he's saying that we worship the same God, the Muslim, yeah. Jews, and the Christians.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, in terms of to hear you describe this, it's not so much that Muslims are there to attack Jews and Christians per se. It's more about attacking the culture that they see more akin to Sodom and Gomorrah. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yes, because... what is America to the world? America is Hollywood. America is casinos, infiltrated by casinos like, what's named the city or the state of the casino state? Las Vegas. And they look at all this. They look what we put on TV, because they project these are their idols, you know. And so they see the TV is the gate to the heart of Muslim American. So they see America where the U.S. heart is.
Well, to hear a lot of what you're describing and a lot of what you saw there in Europe, I think that's really rather alarming in a lot of respects in terms of what you're seeing there. Because I don't think people necessarily see their culture as necessarily Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, certainly there's a lot of things that is wrong there. But in terms of if they were to return to the church, these areas of Britain or France or wherever, would that begin to discourage some of the Muslim infiltration in those areas?
This is the best question for today, this whole interview. And the reason that is because there is the world perspective agenda and there's God perspective agenda, you know, and we know that God set everything before time. You know, I am as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I believe in God's precept and understanding and everything that he said for such time as this. You know, what's changing the statistics, you know, and God delights in the children. He said to populate, to subdue the world and populate it and take dominion over it. So the Muslims are doing this, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But what a lot of people are not seeing is the conversion of Muslims from Islam to Christianity. That is the factor that changed in the dimension of statistic and demographics. And so, therefore, what we are seeing today that the gospel must go to Europe and must start behind the walls again, start, you know, to build a fire in the heart of people. And we know that the latter days are greater than anything that happened in the past, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we read the book of Revelations, we see the triumph of Jesus Christ, the first half. The second half is the triumph of the church.
And it certainly sounds like what you're describing is that there is some hope, it sounds like, for Europe. Kamala, unfortunately, we really are up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thanks for having me. And I hope people are over there seeing this and not fearing what's happening here. We can change the time. We can change everything. Yes. We must have at least 3 to 4 children, and that's a good start.
More kids, more grandkids is always a good start, for sure. All right, thank you. That is all of our time for today. We certainly hope you're at least a little wiser for having been here. Be sure to join us next week, and until then, stay vigilant and don't be silent, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.